Blog Talk Radio.
Because we want to stay alive and toward Chaim, instructions of life, toward Chesed, instructions of kindness, toward Rachamim, instructions of mercies. This is the 108th class of Soul class. Soul being acronym for S70, oldest U, Universal El Lord, the Sheva Mitzvah Ben Enoch, the seven Noahid commandments, which can be tersely described as number one, which are universally applicable to every nation in the creation at every station of their meditation. Number one, not to blaspheme, to curse the Creator with one of the Creator's names. Number two, not to commit acts of idolatry. Number three, not to commit premeditated acts of murder. Number four, not to commit acts of adultery. Number five, not to steal. Number six, not to eat the limb of an animal still alive. Number seven, to raise up righteous statutes in each land according to the Creator's plan, the Most High, Kodesh, Baruch, the Holy One, blessed be He, the Creator of heavens and earth, and everything in between. You know, blessed souls, we are the generation of redemption. This is a redemption generation where we have to try to look for means of extracting ourselves from our spiritual, mental, cognitive exile. Unfortunately, most of the human family right now is in a state of exile from proper economic stability. As we see, there's crisis in Europe, there's crisis in America, there's crisis in the Middle East, crisis in Africa. And I'm sure things are not rosy, peachy keen over in Australia either. as well as in Asia, China, Japan, South, North Korea, Indonesia, Philippine Islands, all over the place. So we turn to Torah to try to find an instruction. And today's show is hoping the beginning of a new series called Quantum Torah. Again, Torah, bless its souls, means instruction. So when we of Israel humbly advise all the nations of the world, including our own people, that we must move away from idolatry, which is in Hebrew called Avodah Zarah, a strange service under the Most High, aside from the specified qualifications. Hashem have mercy upon us for engaging into idol worship. We can turn actually to a fusion of concepts. Quantum, which can be described as a quantity or amount. Quantum can also mean when you talk about a quantity or amount, a specified quantity, amount or portion. And also something that can be measured or counted. So if we jump over, make a, so to speak, quantum leap into the definition of quantum connected to the idea of quantum physics, we see that this also can be defined as the smallest amount of a physical quantity that can exist independently, and also an amount of energy which is regarded as a unit. So each unit has energy, and any amount, or this amount of energy, is called a unit. Now, Torah takes this concept and brings it to the next level, so to speak, because there is this idea that, unfortunately, still too many people have, that there is only a written Torah, but in fact, there's an oral Torah, which is blessed and anointed by the wisdom of the Most High to have a symbiotic relationship with the written scripture, which is the five books of Moses, and the prophets and the writings such as Proverbs, Mishle, Psalms, Tehillim, Lamentations, Echa, Ecclesiastes, Koheles, Chronicles, Divrei Hayamim. So I'd like to take you, blessed souls, into this week's Torah portion, fusing together some teachings, some units of energy from Israelite sages, how to look at written verses of Torah and fuse it together with the inner dimension of Torah, the Panim into Torah, so we can empower ourselves to consider what is the proper path to go. And with that being said, just looking for a book here. You know, this is live radio. I forgot to bring a certain pamphlet with me. Let's just see if I can find it here, blessed souls. Yeah. Okay. We can integrate three teachings with the written Torah today. So let's now go to this week's Torah portion, which in Hebrew is called Parshat Vayetzeh. And if anyone's interested in reading along in unity with the nation of Israel, we read the Torah portion in a very tiny portion of it on Mondays and Thursdays. And this blessed Shabbat, we'll be reading from chapter, I should mention that we're reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verse 10. And then we'll be concluding in the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verse 3. As well, we read something called the Haftarah, which is basically a recapitulation of the Torah portion, but with a different story. This was instituted because at one time, I think it was during the Roman occupation of the land of Israel, that reading the Torah out loud, the five books of Moses, was made illegal under the penalty of death. So that being said, the sages of Israel, using their wisdom, had advised and actually eventually had decreed that there should be a second reading, but it became the primary reading for a certain amount of time, and then eventually the Jewish people allowed to read the Torah in public again while under the occupation of foreign nations in the land of Israel and outside of the land of Israel, that they would read the Haftorah. Now, this week's Haftorah is, let me just see here now, and I'm just bringing this in. Okay, here we go. This would be from the prophet Hosea, chapters 11 and 12. So again, that would be chapters 11 and 12 from the prophet, Hosea in Hebrew. So now let's go into the verses, blessed souls. And we have about, let's see here now, we have about 18 minutes left, so I think we have plenty of time to go into what needs to be said from the written Torah and embellishing it with the oral Torah. If we turn to chapter 32, basically the last verse, one of the last verses of the book of Genesis, chapter 32, we read the following. Chapter 32, verse 1. And Laban, or Lavan, awoke early in the morning. He kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. Then Laban, or Lavan, went and returned to his place of dwelling. Verse 2 in chapter 32, verse 2, and it says, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God encountered him. In chapter 32, verse 3, Jacob said when he saw them, quote, this is a godly camp, unquote, till he called the name of that place Machanaim, which Machanaim in Hebrew means, in English, a camp. So turning now to a teaching from Lubavitcher Rebbe that he expounded upon almost 23 years ago, and I'm basically plucking it out, and I also want to fuse in initially a teaching from the Ben Ish Chai as well. So what's happening at the end of this Torah portion, blessed souls, there was a covenant made, a bris, between Laban and Jacob, or Laban and Yaakov, and generally speaking, a bris, as depicted in earlier portions of the Torah and throughout the Torah, is an expression of endearment, of closeness, and connection. The Most High made a bris, a covenant with Israel at Mount Sinai. The Most High made a bris, which you can see openly seven times, chapter 9, verses 1 through 17 in the book of Genesis, and in other places as well. But here a bris was made between father-in-law Laban and Yaakov. And by the way, the Ben Ish Chai mentions this is the only time we see a bris, where the bris is to separate, not to come closer. But anyway, this week's Torah portion talks about a family separation between Laban, Lavan, and Yaakov, which meant Laban would be separating himself as a father from his daughters, as a grandfather from his grandson, and a grandfather from his granddaughters. Now, it's interesting, in this week's Torah portion, blessed souls, we see that all the 12 tribes, or literally the 12 sons of Jacob, are born in this week's Torah portion. But there's no mention of the granddaughters, aside from Leah had a daughter by the name of Dinah. However, Rashi explains to us from the oral Torah tradition, blessed souls, that actually each son had a twin sister. And since Yaakov married four women, there was actually marriages among the 12 tribes between themselves and twin sisters of other brothers from different mothers. That's just one fact that you're not going to pick up from the written scripture. However, let's go a little further. That ultimately what the Torah is emphasizing here in these verses that I just read to you earlier is, last but not least, there was a parting ways between father-in-law and son-in-law. Laban, Lavan, in this week's Torah portion, is depicted as a cheater and a liar who's jealous of his son-in-law's great success, although he admitted to it openly in Scripture. Laban, Lavan, was jealous of Yaakov's success. Yet we must at the same time, too, take note, the Bava Trevi mentioned in his teaching from almost 23 years ago, Lavan, Laban himself, was rooted in a very pristine, high level of spirituality, transcending the worlds of action, speech, thought, and intellect. He himself ultimately was a humanized reflection, ultimately, of the essence and being of our Creator. And again, this should not surprise us, blessed souls. That doesn't mean Lavan or Laban was a god. It meant that Laban, Lavan, in his soul connection to his divine image, was holding at a very high level. Unfortunately, his actions undermined that pristine connection that he had ultimately with the Creator himself. Now, Laban's intent was to actually overcome Yaakov and return his four daughters, Rachel, Rachel, Leah, Zilpah, and Bilhah, to his homeland, Aram Naharaim, which today we would associate with to be the modern state of Turkey. However, in the end, Laban or Lavan elicited a unique spiritual flow to his sons and daughters, grandsons, and granddaughters. Stepping back for a moment, blessed souls, we should try to understand, again, looking at a quantum unit of Torah teachings and seeing that there is a lot more energy than just a simple description of a son of a daughter. According to the inner dimensions of Torah, there is a quality of sons that we associate with the concept of giver, an influencer, and the concept of a daughter, not just a female, as opposed to being a male. Females are associated with the spiritual concept of being receivers. With that point in your mind, blessed souls, in your blessed minds, we want to remind everyone concerning all cause and effect relationships. There exists an axiomatic giver and an axiomatic receiver. So, with Laban or Lavan depicted in Genesis 32:1 as kissing his descendants, the kiss itself, with its inner intent, was actually an expression of an infusion of unique spiritual bounty. That kiss, according to Scripture in chapter 32, verse 1, was allegorically pointing in the direction to ultimately to a so to speak, divine kiss. I'm speaking allegorically, of course. The Most High does not kiss because he's not a human being. But we're speaking in terms, a kiss is a flow of energy. When two people kiss, there's a transfer, not just of physical contact between lips to lips, but the energy inside the face and the heart, ultimately the mind and the soul that's embedded and clothed in that one body kissing the other person's lips. So to speak, the Creator each morning, allegorically speaking, and let's review that teaching one more time to just make it a little clear. So when people kiss, they feel energized. So the act of kissing is alluding to the fact that each morning the Most High Creator infuses each day, as of morning, with a unique power from the essence and being of the Creator himself. With that being taken into account, blessed souls, any elicitation or revelation in this world, aside from the obvious fact, the Most High Creator allows such a revelation, requires the involvement of a human being involved in the process themselves, meaning there is this source of revelation, and then there is the created entity that's going to interface with that revelation. So that quantum unit or energy of revelation must deal with that quantum unit of human being to receive the revelation. There must be at some level a symbiotic relationship. For example, every morning is considered to be one of the three times for prayer for an Israelite. And of course, we encourage the whole family of nations, the blessed children of Noach, to consider to take time every morning. Now, this is not an absolute obligation in terms of what you must do as a blessed, faithful son or daughter of Noah. But, again, if think about it for a moment, blessed souls. If all of us have been commanded not to serve idols, not to engage in strange forms of worship, in the place of serving, worshiping, and fellowshipping with other human beings, so who do we serve? Well, we humbly suggest that we contemplate praising the one who created the heaven and earth, all of creation. Who created it? What type of energy was involved? Certainly more than any energy that we human beings or collectively as a human family could have created or generated or designed or thought of, because we weren't there at the point of creation. With that being said, blessed souls, so why is prayer so important in the morning as we, as receivers, in the mode of daughters, receivers from the spiritual flow in this, within the spiritual category of sons giving over to us or being influenced by this divine flow? So why is it so important for us to pray in the morning? After all, we wake up in the morning groggy, and most of us, and I include myself, anyone else, first and foremost, we start the mundane task of seeking merely to care for our bodily needs, purifying ourselves of wastes, washing ourselves, eating, drinking. And yet, despite these very earthy needs, we diminish, as per our abilities, our discipline and our training to quell our animal desires of eating and drinking and running out to, quote-unquote, conquer our little portion in the world, to stop ourselves in our normal and very functional behavior and our quite normally human perceptions of living human lives and say, wait a minute, let's take a time out, at least for this part of the day, to engage in the lofty service of giving thanks and praise to Hashem Yisparach, the Creator may be blessed, until we can merit to draw down from what is considered to be a supernal world, Keser Elyon, literally a supernal crown, a supernal intermediary, which does not separate us from the Creator, but is actually a conduit decreed by the Most Creator to serve as a means of drawing down to us that divine kiss energy, that new energy sprouting forth in the morning. Now, this level of supernal world called Keter Elyon hovers way above the worlds of intellect, thought, speech, and action. So once we begin to access the concept and meditate, and quite frankly, we all have to learn more about Keter Elyon, the supernal crown, blessed souls, we will not be surprised when we start to access such sublime divine energy as it's revealed in our learning of Scripture, Torah Shebiktav and Torah Shebaaleh, the oral tradition of Torah, and the fulfillment of mitzvahs. So a question might be raised, blessed souls, why is it important to recognize the revelation of godliness, of divinity, of Elokus coming anew every morning as part of our service to the Creator? Well, this is all. There is this axiom in Torah called gratitude. It is a good thing to recognize and appreciate when we are given. And who gives us more? No one gives us more. No matter how much we're given by our loved ones, or the community we live in, or the nation we live in, no one gives us more than the Most High. He gives us life. How do we know this? That these instructions of prayer to the Most High were given over to us as a tradition by the fact that we see throughout Scripture ample depiction of the Most High speaking to his trusted prophets, the prophets of ancient days. And these prophets revealed the words of the Most High to the masses. Today, we still try to learn, review, and seek to internalize the oral instruction, as well as the written instruction, of these prophets of ancient days in a way of understanding and comprehension. And we're referring to Blessed Souls a critical type of thinking, considering how to implement divine consciousness, which testifies to the existence of humans living upon the existing and thriving living earth, and that our lives can be elevated and rectified and serve as a conduit for improving living conditions here on earth, not just for others, but for ourselves, not just for ourselves, but for others. Improving living conditions for one and all is basically at the foundation of the seven Noahic commandments, blessed souls, because the world was not created for chaos, but rather to be a settled place. And this is a prophecy in Isaiah 45:18. And no exception is to be made in terms of Let me restate this. Everyone should be given the chance, as living inhabitants upon this planet Earth, to have a clear awareness that it is worth their while to acknowledge and praise and serve the Creator of all creation, being engaging in a wondrous unification with the Creator, which is afforded us the act of prayer. At the same time, too, we have the opportunity of cleansing our materialistic lives of the grubber elements that exist within materialistic lives, which we all live materialistic lives, let's be honest with ourselves. We must eat and drink and sleep and breathe. So when we push aside our bodily needs and our human perceptions for, and again, I'm not dictating to anyone how much they should pray. I mean, I spend about 75 minutes in the morning, learning, preparing to pray, and then praying, and then learning afterwards, before I come back to my house to attend to my family's needs, wife and children. But I'm not expecting that of everyone, especially when people, individuals, blessed souls, were hearing this for the first time. So, you could start with a minute. You can just start to think about this as you're driving on your way to work, you're listening to this show on Blessed Blog Talk Radio. But again, Blessed Souls, we have the wondrous opportunity to cleanse materiality of the grubber elements within it to get to the heart of any matter of energy, for that matter, the godliness, the elokus, that in fact exists in the universe. So as we're talking, Blessed Souls, I'm just going to be queuing up, which I think is a beautiful song, which I think really gets to the crux of the matter, where a beautiful artist by the name of David Dohm wrote a version of My Sweet Lord by George Harrison, but he changed the lyrics around because he wanted to infuse it with a Torah perspective. What is this idea of wanting to be connected to the Most High? And I'm just trying to pull this out, this song. Here we no, let's bear with me. And I think you'll like this song very much so. Okay, let's see if we can get to it. In the meantime, I want to wish everyone a wonderful day. Hopefully tomorrow morning we'll be a little more organized as we prepare to do our show with Isaac Bitton, who has, in fact, just published a wondrous, fiery, holy new CD called Generation Redemption. And Isaac Bitton toiled and struggled and almost gave up on it to produce this album,
which features songs which are so connected to biblical prophecy as related to King David's Psalms 149, chapter 1. Sing a new song to the Most High, and praise Him in the congregation of the Hasidim, the pious, those people who are really, really into and thirsting constantly for godliness, which is not just of the Jewish people, but also, in fact, for the nation. I should say all the nations. Let me just see if I can cue it up, and just bear with me. I think we're going to get it soon. Here we go. Take care, everyone. Ahav echad, one love. Goyel echad, one destiny. Kolon of olos. B'darchi nam darchi shalom. In a peaceful and pleasant way. L'hamshich, to begin. Birchas Hashem Yisparek. With the blessings of the Most High. Never say die. Generation redemption. Wake up and live. Learn to give. Stop the senseless hating, senseless competition, and senseless jealousy. And let's greet the Mashiach Tzidkenu, the righteous Messiah, universally. Now.
Show you love that I won't take long, my Lord.